This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, here I am back for another week. I know it was a little bit longer the week since our last show. We had a special Superman show for the weekend, but I'm kind of getting used to releasing things on Wednesdays. And we didn't get to have a Watching Movies with My Pastor episode. Just kind of how things have worked out. But we're back here in the Fandom Nexus for some more fun. And it's a very special episode because we are welcoming back Mr. Tom Amin, piano player and composer. He's got another album that is available out there on Apple Music, Spotify, anywhere you want to go and get it. It is awesome. I've been enjoying it. We're going to talk to him all about that album and how much I'm enjoying it here later in the show. That is definitely coming up. As we work our way there, though, we do, of course, have at least one piece of news that I want to get into. I like to pay tribute when someone passed away that maybe we were entertained by them back when we were kids in the 80s. And Malcolm Jamal Warner has passed away, so we're going to spend a little bit of time dedicating a little bit of the show towards memorializing him. But otherwise, a lot of just fun stuff to be here on the show today. So I'm glad you downloaded, glad you came along with us today, and I hope you're going to have fun with us, because that is the idea around here, is that we want to have some fun. So what have I been watching? Really? I'm trying to think. Have I really watched anything? I don't feel like I've had time to sit and watch stuff because I've been too busy. What have I been playing? Final Fantasy VI. As I started up, I think I mentioned last show that I finally finished Final Fantasy V and got my Platinum Trophy. So, of course, I started up on VI. And, of course, I played two versions of Dark Forces for both PS4 and PS5 and got those two Platinum Trophies. So I've been playing VI. And I'm spending a little bit of time on VII because there's some trophies I didn't get. And I thought, you know what? I might be able to Platinum that one. And I'll just work my way up and get a Platinum Trophy on these things. So VI, though, I got to say, there's such a variety of characters in this one. This one, I have seen in some fan groups that this is a favorite Final Fantasy game for people who are fans of the series. And I can see why. This is very, very good. I mean, you can tell it's Super Nintendo, but this, I think, was towards the later years of the Super Nintendo when things were winding down. But everybody had figured out what the real capabilities of what you could do and push the levels of what you could do with the system. I mean, they were really pushing the envelope on it. And it's really, you know, the sprites are very different from what I've seen in the previous games. The characters are a bit more fleshed out. They're a little bigger. And the music, of course, now the reason I'm hearing the music as it's been remastered and reorchestrated for this. But I did see where Nobuo Uematsu said this is his favorite music of that he's worked on in the games, and it has been very good. And I've even had a scene where you're at an opera house, and there, I guess there was music probably just written for it, and the lyrics were popping up on screen, but now they were able to have somebody actually sing the lyrics to the tunes that was written. And I've been enjoying the music. I've been enjoying all the different characters in this one. It's really been pretty good. So this feels like you're getting onto par of what I've gotten maybe more used to for having played 7 and then having played 14 a little bit. I need to come back and play some more 14, but I'm playing all these other ones, but playing 15 and 16 and playing, of course, the remake and rebirth of 7. The level of character development and story really has stepped up. I mean, 5 and 4 were very, very good. I'm trying to think, it was, I guess, 3 in the series, which would have been released to us as 2, I think. There's a pretty good story arc in there, but wow, the character development has really grown. Really grew at this time. They took a really big leap and gave everybody a lot of backstory. So you really are kind of hoping all these different characters have these something to resolve, something that's going on in their life, and amongst the story. And it's moving pretty fast. I'm in from the guide I'm trying to use to make sure I find everything. I'm in the sixth chapter of eight chapters. So I guess I'm moving pretty fast through the game. And after I do that, I'll concentrate a little bit on completing seven one more time. I say that, I'll probably play it again sometime too. But trying to get all the remaining trophies, and then I'll jump on to 8, which I've never played before. And I believe I own a copy of 8, 9, and 10, and even 10 too. And after I played through those, I think 11 is an online one. It might still exist. But I'll try to play like 12 and 13. I've almost now played every one of the games in this series and been enjoying myself. I took a little break, earlier. But there's some other role-playing games that I'm going to try out, like Ni No Kuni 2. I probably should play the original one, but I think Ni No Kuni 2, I saw more footage of that, and I was kind of interested to play it. And it's a separate story from the other. I think there's another one over here. I've got, not a Dragon Age, but Dragon Warrior? Where is it? Dragon Quest 3? Or no. I can't read it from where I'm at sitting here in my chair, but I'm going to try all these different ones. I'm doing a lot more turn-based combat than I used to do. Maybe I'm getting older and I'm settling down and I'm playing more turn-based. I don't know, but people have been fans of turn-based combat for a very long time. Something I'm about to start playing, speaking of a role-playing game. So this past year, I think, is one they've released the Marvel Multiverses role-playing game set. And I have made a purchase of a core rule book plus a kit to do an Escape from Planet Hulk story. So it has a few characters in there that maybe weren't in the core book. I don't know. But I'm learning it. I'm still reading through the book, and I'm learning now, of course, the character creation. Philip and I have characters we came up with when we were in middle school. And I'm learning how we can adapt and bring those characters into the Marvel universe to play with in this. And then I'm going to have my wife come up with a character. I also think it'll be fun to put myself in there as the Spider-Pan, put my team of Neverlanders together. And I'll start with just the initial power of flight, because pixie dust and happy thoughts make me fly, and we'll build up from there as we get experience. And so we'll play along like that. Of course, I've got to also be the narrator, so I'm going to be running the game as well as playing whatever characters I bring to life in there. So I'm pretty excited to get started on that one. It takes a lot of learning, and I might find a group to maybe play with online a little bit to kind of get myself a bit more accustomed to the game. But that's what I've been looking in with watching and playing this week. So before we dive into the rest of today's episode, I do want to take a moment to honor the life and legacy of Malcolm Jamal Warner, best known to many as Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show. Malcolm was more than just a sitcom star. He was a multifaceted artist, a Grammy-winning spoken word performer, a musician, and a director who brought depth and dignity to every role he touched. He inspired a generation not just through his performances, but through the way he carried himself off screen, thoughtful, creative, and always pushing boundaries in the arts. His presence in film, television, and music was both meaningful and enduring. Today, we honor him and thank him for the joy, reflection, and soul he brought to our screens. All right, so coming up next, I had the pleasure of speaking with pianist and composer Tom Amin, and his musical journey brings its own kinds of inspiration. Really, it's good stuff to listen to. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back with Tom Amin. And basically what I mean by a quick break, can I tell you a little bit about Dubby? All right, go to neverlandpodcast.com and you'll find a large white text of Dubby, and that'll take you over to dubby.gg using the discount code Neverland. If you're a gamer and you need some extra energy and you want some healthy energy and you don't want the jitters, because guess what caffeine really kind of does? I can't even drink iced tea anymore without getting the jitters. This gives you a lot of different flavors and options. It's a little mix that you just mix it with water, and you can even get different kind of bottles to drink it out of. Lots of fun things over there at Dubby. Once again, get some energy without getting the jitters. And I do want to take the time, in case you haven't seen the new website, neverlandpodcast.com is now the Neverland Network of podcasts. And we've got a lot of different podcasts that I'm running in there. I'm even bringing back the Mighty Marvel Tooncast. I'm trying to get my wife up to speed on the last episodes that Tim and I were watching. Originally, Tim was doing this with Tim Nidell of Saturday Morning Rewind. He used to do, he's got a different YouTube channel. He's working on a documentary, but he got to where he was so busy he couldn't keep up with it. So I didn't want to do it by myself, and so I kind of stopped the show, and that's been years and years and years ago. Well, I want to bring it back, and I thought it would be kind of a fun and a new angle to have my wife watch these old Marvel cartoons and be able to come from that perspective and not really being that familiar with the Marvel universe other than maybe movies. She hasn't really sat and read a comic book But of course, we'll do the same insights on the different characters that pop up in the series. And what we mainly used to do was X-Men and Spider-Man. But as we came to the end, we'd recorded, but it became a lost episode. Somebody had requested we watch the Incredible Hulk series from the 90s. So we'll all be mixing that in, and also some watching some shows from the 80s, like the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And the fun thing is, a lot of these series are available if you happen to have a Disney Plus account, and you can watch those shows there. And that's probably how I'm going to watch a lot of them. I think they even have a Fantastic Four and the Iron Man cartoon from the 90s, I believe, are on Disney Plus. Either that, or I'll find a way to be able to watch them. So we'll be able to mix it up and watch a lot of different shows. And for anyone who's a Patreon supporter, basically if you're Patreon supporting through the Neverland Network, you're going to get access to every special bonus that I do here at the Fandom Nexus, or for watching movies with my pastor, or bonus episodes we're going to do with watching the Mighty Marvel Tooncast. I'm going to have her, because she's a big anime fan, I'm going to have her sit me down and watch some anime. Now, there's some stuff I've watched and some stuff I think we're going to rewatch, but we can discuss the episodes of some anime for our Patreon supporters. And I'll probably even release those for those of you who are Red Circle exclusive members, which once we get that going, I'll start setting up some exclusive episodes. And you'll find out how to get membership with our Red Circle, which Red Circle is that's where I'm hosting the podcast. And so it's in the show notes. I make sure that you can go and get bonus episodes through there as well. So lots of ways that you can get some fun stuff, and you can help support the show by doing that. All right. Well, without any more further ado from me, let's jump right in with Mr. Tom Amin. All right, so now we are welcoming back the great Tom Amin. I don't know what really to title besides, composer, piano extraordinaire, guy who apparently plays a little heavy-handed sometimes, but you just get emotional, get passionate about your music, so.
Exactly. Thank you. I like that intro. Thank you. Works for me.
First time you came on, you were told people criticize you for sometimes you hit the keys too hard. I'm like, that's passion. That's what that is.
I used to be in my 20s, when you're younger and things are a little bit more fiery, I guess. I used to really get really loud. I've broken a few strings before. As I'm getting older, it has been more subdued. If you listen to the albums, they're more subdued now. But in my 20s and 30s, when you're playing for, I was music directing some shows and stuff, you have to just really play. And my teacher was a classical trainer, and he trained me, classically, there were so many parts you had to be so big on the keys. It's just what I got used to. So I did that for a long time. Yeah.
But you've learned the lighter tone.
Calm down now.
Yeah.
I have.
You've got the albums to prove it, that you have definitely really, you've got the collection of stuff, because I've got some of these. Some of these I know I have the CD of, because I remember the first time I think I heard some of your music, you had done a Star Wars album.
Yes, that was a while back.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But you've done
a
lot of.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I would say that's why some people ask, why isn't there a Star Wars song on this new album? But I had already done a Star Wars album. I've redone the main theme two or three times on different albums. And I was I just can't put that on. But Star Wars is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So I love it.
And
that's going back.
Yeah, that is. But since then, you've done a lot of just peaceful Malibu mornings, peaceful meditations, magical meditations. You've found ways to take, of course, Disney, you can kind of play light and nice anyway. You've done a lot of Disney songs, clearly. But you've got stuff you compose yourself is, very, very chill. This is stuff you could be reading a book. You could be just sitting back to dinner. And just if you need to chill, you need to relax a little bit, this will give you something to listen to. And even the new album.
That's what it's for.
Let's go to the movies. I got to say, the one thing that mainly surprised me when I was listening to this is Back to the Future, because on some of these, you still capture the adventure of Jurassic Park, the Superman theme. But then suddenly we get to Back to the Future, and I was like, he's probably going to hit this hard. It was like, no, he played it light. And it's like, this brings back the wonder of the time travel and of the film, and not just the adventure of it, but the wonder it would be to go and travel through time. It's like, oh my goodness, I feel this movie a different way when he plays the music this way. So it's kind of surprising. I was like, oh, hey.
Well, I have to say these themes, because they're so well written by such incredible writers and composers, you can take these themes a lot and play them, you know, as they're first originally intended, and bright and loud and huge. You can tone them down. You can make them really soft. There's so many different ways to play them because they're so well written.
Yeah.
And I knew Back to the Future, like those kind of themes are so big and I love them, but I didn't want to just duplicate that on the piano. I wanted like a different spin on it, you know, something a little bit different that when people hear like, oh, that's different, but I like it. And mm-hmm. it reminds me of the movie. That was my main purpose there.
And it did. It brought back the wonder of, like I said, of what time travel would be like, you know, going through and experiencing a different time. And just, I mean, one of the like key parts when you see Michael J. Fox and he's walking down, It's the 50s and he's in the middle of, he's a town he knows, but nothing is familiar. And then I had this nice wide shot and he's just kind of looking around. And I was like, that's the way he played the song. It's just like, what it'd be looking like. Like, it's like, I know this place, but everything's entirely different. And so you brought back the magic of what the movie is like.
Thank you. That's kind of what I wanted to do with all the tracks. I wanted, mm-hmm. when you listen to it, to get the main gist of the theme, put my little spin on it, but also just bring you back to the memory of that movie. Oh, I remember this is the way that movie made me feel.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing, you know?
And even with like E.T. is to me, John Williams' absolute masterpiece of scores. Amazing as all his other work is, E.T. is the one I've got the, I think it was the 30th anniversary, they re-released the soundtrack and they put all the music in order and in completion. And that soundtrack will take you all the way through the movie. And I get emotional even just hearing it and remembering that, because that's one of the first movies that made me cry. Of course, I was 5 years old when I first saw it, but oh my goodness. And so now here's like, and I was preparing myself, like, oh, he's going to play a nice melody from it. And like, here we go. And
it's, I'm sorry, I agree with you. E.T. is, I think, one of his finest works. It's mm-hmm. so good. It's just so good. And I don't know if you noticed, but I did the main theme, but then mm-hmm. I put the end theme of the movie, the way it's orchestrated, I put that to the end because I wanted to end that way. I just didn't want to just do the theme and that be it. I wanted to go to the end where E.T.'s saying goodbye to Elliot and that whole swell at the end and the rainbow as the spaceship's going out. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I think it's one of his most brilliant scores.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's one of the things amazing about that score is even after you have the big swell and the finish, this emotional finish, you go into the credits and it's this beautiful, hey, piano. Oh, my goodness. Yep. And it brings all the emotion back, but it settles you down. So you're like, okay, it's time to leave the theater. You can calm down. You're like, we know that all the emotions were riding high at the end of this movie. It's this great big, because you're happy he goes home. You're sad to see him go. And then the nice piano. See, it's such. I could play the piano. I'm terrible though. But it's such a great personal instrument. Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. And I was fortunate enough at one point. This was years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. The Hollywood Bowl here in Los Angeles does, which I think they do in a lot of other cities too. They will play the live orchestration under the movie.
Yeah.
They'll show the movie on huge screens, and John Williams. I can't remember what a few of them he's been there conducting. I can't remember if he was at that, but we heard the score live. I went and saw that E.T. with the score underneath, and it was like brilliant. I was able to go to that and Back to the Future with the score, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
And Jurassic Park, by the way, I've seen that too. Really cool. Really
I think
cool.
We've gotten a few things with the Kansas City Symphony has done, I think, one of the Harry Potter movies and some other ones that I never get to go.
Oh, yeah.
And I even missed out, but I had an excuse. I was at a convention here in town, but on that same day, they had they were doing the works of John Williams as a collection. And one of my coworkers went to that. And I was like, well, I was at the convention and I had fun at my convention, nice. You know. So but I was like, man, if I could afford to have done both. But I had a good time at Planet Comic Con. I was like, man, I really feel like I missed out not getting to see John Williams performed live. But it's not like he was here conducting. So if he was here conducting, I'd have been like, forget it. Stop everything. We're going to see John Williams.
Got to see John Williams. I've seen him conduct several times here. It's amazing to see.
Oh, my goodness.
He's amazing.
It'll probably be one of those things for me, like Stan Lee. I didn't never get to meet him, but he did come at a convention and I spotted him. I got to look at him.
Nice.
And I'm like, my eyes would make contact. But that's about as close as I got. And I'm like, John Williams is probably going to be that same thing. I'm like, Almost, but not.
Yeah.
He's right there, right? Exactly. That's amazing.
If he ever comes to town on a tour, like bring the Boston Pops around or something. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Just do it.
Tour around. Now, here's an odd thing that I don't know if you've ever considered. I have recently, of course, I'm a big video game player anyway, but with the Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth, the full orchestration now, and I always screw up his name because I'm not good at speaking Japanese at all, but Nobuo Uematsu, and I thought I was alone in thinking this, but he is like the John Williams of games.
And nice.
When they fully, you know, because he's been doing the Final Fantasy games since like the first one. I think he's kind of pulled away, and he reminds me of John Williams because he plays a jazz band. And occasionally, you know, he'll record something on his own, so you get like a different take of some of his music he's composed. But having the full range of a full symphony playing for these games, you really get the depth of everything he's composed. But I've always kind of wondered, it's like, you know, you haven't tackled any video game music at this point, have you?
I have not, and I'm a big gamer as well, although I'm not familiar with Final Fantasy, so I should check that out.
Oh, my goodness.
I should check that, because I know video game music is amazing. It's just insanely good. And Hans Zimmer has done stuff for, like, Call of Duty, and then there's the Halo stuff, and there's all kinds of, even, like, the Mario Brothers games, the music in, like, the Nintendo world. There's some really good stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an idea that I think I should, you know, research that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just name drop Nobuo Uematsu. I tell you, I'll send you some tracks on Facebook because some of his scores.
Send them to me.
I definitely will. It's amazing stuff. And it's like, all right, when you start listening and say, I think I could play a nice soothing version of this. Oh, man, because it's just some great stuff. And I know you appreciate good music. So
I do.
So I've annoyed my wife a little bit by overplaying too much from Final Fantasy Rebirth because the music is so great in it. And they even got Lauren Allred, which I don't think I saw the movie. She had a part in the Hugh Jackman musical about P.T. Barnum or whatever. She has a part apparently in there and sang a song.
Greatest Showman. Yeah.
Yeah. I still have yet to see that.
Yeah.
But she's got the
music
to perform.
It's good.
Yeah. Nice. She is a really talented singer and everything. But yeah, my wife said there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. So I need new versions of some of this music. So see, there's the challenge. So
there you go. There you go.
Because in case you needed ideas, there we go. Different
Thank
stuff.
Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
But all right. So getting back to also the one you have just released with the Let's Go to the Movies. I got to say, I appreciate you're reaching back into our past and bringing back Chariots of Fire, which I mean, that was like a radio hit. And it lends itself beautifully into piano.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's a piano-based song, of course. And I knew there wasn't too much I was going to do with it. I just made it just a little bit softer, added a couple little chord changes here and there. But that's basically it. It's just a perfect song the way it's composed. Vangelis did it. I think he's Greek. He was a Greek composer. And that made him like a superstar. Yeah. I mean, you know, in the 80s, that was a huge hit in the early 80s. On the radio, it was everywhere, but it's such a beautiful theme. And I only recently watched the movie like about 5 years ago. I'd never seen the film when I was a kid, but I watched it as an adult, and I'm glad I did. It was a great film, but that theme was just so amazing. And I had to put that on there because as I was learning piano, like that was one of the themes that so many of us learned, you know?
And it's such an inspiring melody that you just, it makes you want to get out on the beach and run.
And just run on the beach. I know.
Run on the beach. You know, I don't look as good as Hasselhoff does because my belly will jiggle and, you know, I don't have the muscle tone.
Mine too. We'd be in that together. So exactly.
I run. Yeah. It's, so like if you really want to run, if you can either listen to Chariots of Fire or you can listen to Gotta Fly Now from Rocky. Either way will inspire you to run.
It's good. It's all good.
Yeah.
So
that's the power of music. It does help. That's how I get to my workouts. And even I am not a fan of Titanic, I will admit, but the, you know, goodness sakes, it's James Horner and he's one of the best.
Yeah, James Horner.
I really enjoyed that melody. It's like, you know, I don't like this movie so much because the second time I watched it, I realized like I'm not really into this movie until the ship's starting going down. Because then it's exciting. But until then, I was like, this is the most pedantic, lame soap opera love story I think I've ever seen on film. It's like, this is, I'm not buying it anymore, you know. And then all of a sudden, but then when the ship starts going, I was like, ooh, now I'm invested and it's a tragedy and it's an adventure. We're trying to survive and she's not making room on that thing for him anymore. And but the music, I forget how great the music was until I was listening to it. And I was like, yeah, the music.
Yeah, it's outstanding music. It's just so well done. And James Horner just knocked that one out of the park. It was just a brilliant score. Every theme is great, not just the My Heart Will Go On, but he has all these other themes that run, as you know, throughout the film. And it was just so I wanted to just do a medley because I thought it deserved a medley of some of those themes. And I don't know if you noticed, but the main theme, My Heart Will Go On, I didn't want to just play it like normal because it's been done. Everyone's done it. Everyone knows it. So I turned it into a waltz just to make it a little bit different.
Yeah, I was like, this is kind of cool. It
turned out pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And I could understand because I was hearing how it was kind of going different ways and different songs. I'm like, yeah, it would be hard when you got like the entire score of a film is brilliant. It's like, how do you choose what? Okay, I can't do just one. I have to do something that's every piece. And so what was the selection process like for like, okay, what pieces do I want to try to play a section of?
Well, was that you mean for Titanic or for the whole thing?
For all of them. So, I mean, because everything's got a medley. I mean, you encompassed a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I just knew Titanic, I wanted to do the medley, but I knew with all these other pieces, they were mainly songs that I loved as music was starting in me, like as I was starting to come into it when I was like 12 years old or 13 or whatever. That's why you'll notice it's only from the 70s to the 90s. I just wanted to start with those time periods. That's what I wanted to do. So I thought if people like this, I'll do more. I mean, definitely want to do more, but I wanted to focus on that time period because I was about 12 when I started playing. And then that's why the earliest song on there is the Benji theme from 1974. Now, I wasn't a musician then. I was like very young. I was just a little boy, but that song stayed with me. And then as I got older, I started to play and sing that I Feel Love song and blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted to do songs that I loved to play and that struck a chord with me as I was growing up in my teenage years and early 20s. So that's how I went to choose those songs. And I wanted to do songs that people knew. You know, I wanted to put the theme to White Fang on there, which was a Disney film, which has an incredibly beautiful score. But I was like, I don't think people are going to know that one that well. So that's why I went with ones that were mostly well known.
Yeah,
I thought. Although, just for the first time,
Benji was something that's like it's almost been forgotten. And I remember I think I was really little. I've probably seen the entire movie when I was like 2 years old or something. I mean, I remember Benji, but I didn't remember the music. So I was like, okay, let me just enjoy the music for what it is. It's not going to bring back any memories, but it's still just fun to listen to. The only Benji movie I remember being older that I watched was like Benji the Hunted. And that was stressful.
That was in the 80s. That was a stressful movie.
Yeah. So I didn't enjoy it. But the original Benji, I feel like I need to watch.
The Benji, if you can, well, I mean, it's completely dated. I mean, it's really dated, but the dog is the star of that movie. That dog was just brilliant. What they got him to do, the way he acted like in the film. And it was, I guess, the first movie that was really told from the dog's perspective.
Yeah.
Like a lot of cuts where he's down on the ground and they're shooting shots of him running, but you're with him like on the ground. I mean, I love it because I grew up with it. Right. So, but the theme was beautiful. I Feel Love. It's a really nice theme. Mm-hmm. So that's why I put
nice
that on
to listen
there.
To.
This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com.
Thank you.
Other big, of course, you know, doing the Superman theme almost feels necessary with a new film that's just came out and which we actually covered in the last podcast. Well, love the movie. It's a good movie. I really liked it.
I'm going to have to see it. I haven't seen it. I'm going to have to watch it.
Especially because when you hear the John Williams music play in a different style, It's because it couldn't be Superman without hearing a little bit of those themes.
A little bit of that. I figure they have to put a little bit of that in there, right?
And I listening. You can on Apple Music, you can go and listen to the score, and it's almost like a love letter to like.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in there actually quite a bit that you hear even just played differently. That's kind of like how you're doing on piano. You just play it a little differently, but yet you still recognize it. But you get to kind of look at it in a different way, and it feels like what they were trying to do is like when you hear the Superman theme, you want to just feel positive and inspired, not so much because, you know, John Williams did it as a march. It's known as the Superman march, and it gets you all feeling excited and stuff, but they slow it down and it's now you feel just inspired. You feel like a goodness. And so this is why I want to encourage people, like, Tom's giving you a very different version. I got hair standing up really weird. Tom's giving you a different version of these themes that I know a lot of the wonder of Back to the Future, the goodness of Superman, the inspiration, of course, Chariots of Fire is kind of inspiration anyway, but when you play it just right, it's an emotional journey listening through the album. I listen to it at work and like, and when you have to deal with a lot of crap at work, sometimes listening to this is like, you know what? Everything's good. I'm just going to listen. And you just kind of smile and it takes you back to some memories. And so, it was a journey listening to this album.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it. That's what I hope. That's what I kind of wanted for the listener. That's what I'm hoping evokes, like, your memories, your the loves of the movies. Like, if you remember when you saw the movie, who you saw it with. Like, I was 10 when that came out, and I remember blah, blah. Like, that's just kind of what I wanted to invoke. But, you know, Superman, that theme is important to me because that's the first time I heard that song. We went and saw Superman 2 at the theater or something. And I heard that theme. I went home and started playing on the piano. Without ever having a lesson, I could hear it and I just started to play. That song, that main theme awoke the music in me.
Basically. My goodness.
So that theme is very special to me.
Oh,
Superman theme. Yeah.
Even with Ken Horn and not John Williams, it was still good. It was still good. They had the roots.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Sure it is.
I actually was just watching Superman 2 again and I could listen. It was like, you can tell it's not John Williams conducting, but it's still, this music is still just brilliant. So,
It's just brilliant stuff.
I think between that and Star Wars, what kind of course, when I was a little kid, I couldn't tell the difference between Star Wars and Superman. They were so similar in the John Williamsness of it that I was like, is this the same music? And I don't think it was till the fifth grade that I really started to appreciate music when I had a teacher who actually had a sit and we went through the musical version of the story of the Phantom of the Opera and we listened to the music of that. Oh, and then she would play other pieces for us. It's like, OK, what story pops up in your mind when you hear this music? And we'd listen, then we'd start writing down what it evoked in us. And so, you know, movie scores, that's a gateway drug. Could you start, if you just stop and like, let's listen to the music that somebody put in this movie to where they're trying to tell you a story with music. And so you can just set back. And so this album is a collection of stories. Just, you know, each one's only got a few minutes to tell you that whole story. Of course, some stories I didn't know what the story was telling me because I forgot Benji what the story was other than cute little scruffy dog, you know.
That's okay. Yeah, exactly. That's okay. That's okay. It's probably way before your time, so that's okay.
Well, I wasn't alive in 74. I was negative 3 years. I didn't come along until 77 on the exact day after Star Wars was released. And I like to joke that the reason why I wasn't born on that exact day is because Mom was in the theater and didn't want to give birth to me. You know, she wanted to see the movie first. Right. So
exactly.
That's what I say. Yeah. And she can't contradict me because she's already passed. So,
okay. Oh, I see. I got you. Yeah. I remember seeing that movie in 77. We had to sit in the very front row and look, cause it was packed. I mean, it was, you know, it was a phenomenon then. And that's when I first fell in love with Star Wars, of course, but we had to sit in the front row and look up for the whole 2 hours, but we had never seen anything like that before. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just hadn't seen any space thing like that. And it was just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It was good.
And you know, that's one of the things everybody learned about John Williams is he could tell you a story with that music, even from Jaws.
Sure can.
He could terrify you and he could be the shark. So.
Yes. Exactly. The only theme that didn't make this album that I'm going to definitely put on another one if I do was I wanted to do Indiana Jones.
Ooh.
But I didn't have enough time to like really work it out in the way that I felt really good about. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to shelf it and put it away for like the next one or something. That was one of the only themes that I really wanted to get on there, but it just didn't. I couldn't get it to work in the time frame that I needed. So but it's definitely there for the next one.
And you've got options with that, because even if you just look at the original trilogy, you've got, of course, the Raiders March. You've got the theme for the Ark. You even get really some great themes for Short Round in the second one. And there's a great theme for the Last Crusade. And I think there's even some themes that kind of help. It's kind of the relationship between Indy and his father. There's really beautiful music in there.
There's good themes in that one, too.
So the options, so like, OK, how do you narrow that down? So I completely understand. It's like I couldn't get it. You could do an entire album of music from Indiana Jones now.
You could. I totally could.
Mm-hmm.
That's another. Yeah, it's another idea. I know, because I did a whole Star Wars album. So.
Yes. And it's a good, fun Star Wars album. So,
yeah, thanks. Thank you. Yeah. Good ideas, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I like them.
Oh, yeah. And I've even got to catch up on stuff. I didn't realize you had put out a Disney Villains album. I just saw
that's
that.
That's one of my favorites.
I've added it to my Apple library. I'm going to check this out tomorrow.
Thank you. It's called Even Villains Have a Soft Side. What I wanted to do is take all the major villain songs, but recreate them to make them really soft, really pretty, and really thought-provoking, like you actually care for the villain, like they have a soft side that you never see. Like, that's what I wanted to do with that. And I had a ball. It was a lot of fun to do that. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
it was a good one.
A good villain is still somebody you have to kind of like the villain just in order to really, especially in a Disney movie,
a little bit.
You have to you have to enjoy watching them on screen, but still be enough to where you'll cheer when they get defeated, you know, but you have to I saw you did Gaston. Like Gaston's one of the ones he's such a schmuck, but you just love watching him just because he cracks you up.
Exactly. He's a good villain. And I even did the Pirates Ride, Pirates of the Caribbean, Yo-Ho Pirates Ride. But it's a ballad. It's like a pop ballad. It's really cute. So it's kind of fun. And you know, like the, what's his name from Hunchback? I just lost Frollo. His name. The villain, the Frollo.
Yeah, I saw you did Hellfire.
And like Scar from Lion King's on there. And then Trust in Me, the snake from Jungle Book. Like there's a bunch of songs that were really cool. And there's a lot of people might not have, but from Pete's Dragon, it was the Bill of Sale, where his step parents that were really mean to him, like they were talking, we have a bill of sale, we own him, like those villains. So I made that a ballad. It was a lot of fun to do.
Ooh,
it was cool.
That'd have been a toss up between that one and I could think of the guy's name, the actor Jim, who ended up being the villain, who he's talking about once he wants to do with all the parts of the dragon and sell it. It's like, that's another great old, I haven't watched that movie in such a long time. Oh my goodness. That's like
another classic.
Yes.
It's a classic now. And it's funny because I've been on other podcasts, like, and people love that movie or they hate it and it's dumb. So it's like one now, because I watched it as a kid, I loved it. But if you were to watch that today, it's like 2.5 hours long. It's really long, but I loved the charm of it. The music, Helen Reddy was great.
Oh my goodness.
So it's always had a soft spot for me. Peach Dragon, the original.
Yeah. And I watched it. I was older. I think I was a teenager first time I saw it. And so I still love it as an adult, you know, there's a point. It kind of feels like it slows down for a little bit, but then it comes right back. But
I love the scene where she's just singing Candle on the Water.
Oh,
and it's just her on the lighthouse. And she's singing, it's beautiful. I love it.
Oh, my
love
goodness. It. Yeah. I tell you what, back at the time, I don't know that she could have been topped other than Karen Carpenter for just having quality of voice.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Karen is my favorite. She's my favorite female singer ever. Yeah. You're hitting all the right notes with me tonight, Jeremy.
That's one of the things that all these years I didn't realize, because my mom had Carpenter's albums on vinyl. So we would listen to those and her Bee Gees record. Along with my Michael Jackson,
of course.
But I had no idea that she could drum like that until like these videos suddenly been popping up, and it's like, holy cow! Yeah. I mean,
she was a great drummer.
Like that's stinking amazing. But I mean, she's just precise. Everything's just like perfect. It's like, wow, this kind of reminds me of my old band teacher in middle school when he was trying to instruct the drum line and everything. He's like, you have to keep counting. You have to go see, watch, you're all this doing. He did this complicated thing on his drum set and everything. It's like, it's all on counting off everything. And if you don't keep your count, and like. It's like, it's about precision. And she just nailed that precision. There's like no wasted movement when you watch her drum. Like,
oh, she's phenomenal. Wow. Yeah, she was amazing. And then on top of that, she just opened her mouth. She never had any formal training. That was just her natural voice that came out.
Well, I wish I had that. But
I know. Me too.
If I had that, I'd be famous.
There you go, Jeremy.
Yeah. People like to hear me talk, man. I've been told, but they all sometimes, I think they wish I'd shut up sometimes too, but.
Oh, you're fine. You're just fine.
I talk too much. But yeah, see,
I've
tried to have many different talents, and talking is the only one I have.
That's why you have a successful podcast. This is why.
The
thing.
And yet no one will put me on the radio. I keep trying to get, you know, I work in television. I know I don't get to be on the radio because I can make videos.
Interesting.
But I get to voice a lot of the ads I make for television.
So there you go.
There we go.
That's good.
I've got at least one cartoon character that I created to help kids to stop on red, you know. So I got a little talking stop sign I did for. Yeah. So I have other abilities, I guess. So, yes, it's fun working in television, but I miss radio. My brief time that I had when I was just doing news. But this way we have the podcast and we can talk about music and have all kinds of fun. And we can geek out on just about anything.
Yeah, so. It's awesome. It's great. We have it.
Once again, I will remind you all that everything is available on Apple Music, so you can check it out and you can listen to it there. You also have stuff available. I believe you have a website as well, don't you?
I did. I just relaunched it. It's tomaminmusic.com. But it basically will just bring you to where it has like listen here to all the album. There's a music page. We could look at the different albums, but it just has clicks to like the music's on Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon. It's everywhere on YouTube. So anywhere you want to listen, feel free to.
Yeah. And make sure you buy the albums. Tom needs money so he can make another one.
So I can make another one. I know. But I understand most people stream these days. Yeah. I get it. I mean, I get it. But wherever you want to listen to, enjoy it. And if get in touch with me on Facebook, whatever, just let me know what your favorite song is. I love to hear what people think of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, golly, what was my favorite one on this one? Well, I got to say, Back to the Future is the one that took me aback the most because it created a whole new sense of wonder about the whole thing. Like, because it's the one, that's the one that I think, because all along I was like, oh, yeah, Superman. Oh, that's so good. And then all of a sudden Back to the Future, I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be, because even like Jurassic Park, because you mix the main theme and you did the anthem and you had the excitement and the feel going along. It's like, oh yes, this is good. And then I was like, oh, Back to the Future, this will be exciting. And then it's like, ooh, there's the Back to the Future theme, but slowing it down. It's like, this is the wonder of time travel and the adventure. That's quietly. I'm like, ooh. So I think that's the one that really caught me off guard the most. I was like, this is nice. I feel inspired. I'm gonna buy a DeLorean now.
All right, exactly. I'm glad you like that. Was one of my favorite ones to do. I loved doing that. And I also loved Gizmo's theme.
Oh, golly.
That Jerry Goldsmith, like he was another really good writer. And his theme for that little Gizmo was just so beautiful. Yeah. So I've always loved that one, too.
That was okay. That might be my number two that was on the one because I love the Gizmo theme and to hear it. And it sounded like you did a bit of a melody of within some of the Gizmo theme in there because. Like Gizmo, you get used to hearing the melody because, you know, he'll sing it. And then you hear, like in the original film, the orchestration follow up and join Gizmo in the song and then play it whenever he's representing him. And it's such a sweet song for maniacal movie that it is.
I know. Got the it's sweet a beautiful, theme. Beautiful theme.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I really, because I don't think I've ever got to just sit and just listen to that because I actually do not have a copy of the Gremlins soundtrack. Why don't I have that?
I don't either, actually. I don't even know. Is it available? I don't even know.
I'm going to have to look.
I don't know.
Because I know you can find the Gremlins rag, you know, and I that's part of my Hall of Fame album stuff.
I used to play that all the time. I love the Gremlins rag. Oh, yeah.
It is so much fun. That's one of the things I did a couple years ago with this podcast. I had this young teenage girl that I knew her parents and everything, and they wanted to have her intern with me. And I thought, okay, well, some of the stuff I'm going to do, I'm going to have you watch old 80s movies and give your take on it. And she hadn't seen Gremlins. And I said, now don't be fooled by, you know, it's going to be cute. Then it's going to turn into a horror movie for about 10, 20 minutes, but then it's going to get hilarious. And it's like, it's got a multiple, you just kind of got to stick it out because it blends the sweetness of Gizmo, the horrible monster movie, but yet monster movies can be fun if done right. And it gets ridiculous. And the Gremlins rag, I think, totally wraps it up. If you, between Gizmo's theme, taking all the sweetness, which you've now encompassed, and then the Gremlins rag, which is the comedy with the weird noises that they make when you watch the credits. Okay.
Exactly. All of that. It's awesome.
So, y'all, the magic of the movies is completely on this album. And especially if you're a Gen X, you know, This is stuff you grew up watching. You love these movies, even if you barely remember, like Benji. I don't remember it at all. And I know I've seen, I saw Chariots of Fire, and Chariots of Fire is one I feel like I need to watch again, because there's, it felt like there was a lot going on in there, and it's hard to remember everything, but it's like, wow. Telling a true story, but that music, you're never going to forget the music of Chariots of Fire, because we grew up with it and hearing it nicely brought around the piano. It was very inspirational. I was like, I think my next workout, when I go hit on the treadmill, I'm going to pull that one out and like, okay, here we go.
Nice. Here we go. Pretend like you're on the beach.
Exactly. Oh, and like I wish I was on the beach instead of on a treadmill.
I know, right? Exactly.
Yes. Even though I can't swim, but that's okay. On the beach, I'm safe. I don't drown myself.
Yeah.
So,
you're just on the sand. You're in the sand. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Good. And it gets everywhere. So,
okay. I know. That's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other
issue. I don't know how that happens, but it does.
It does. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to wrap this up here before I start getting any more ridiculous. But anyways, once again, so Tom Amin Music, or heck, just go to Apple Music, go to Spotify, search for Tom Amin.
Yep.
He's got a whole mess of stuff, and some stuff I don't think I've listened to everything on here.
Nice.
So I'm definitely like the next thing on my agenda, and I see some of this other, The Softest Side of Magic, I think that was the last time I actually had you on. I think we talked about that one.
You're right. That's right.
Because we talked a little bit about Magical Meditations at the time, too, because that has also some Disney.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Magical. That's the one where it's really slow. Now, that's the one where I did what we call the felt piano, which is where you put a piece of felt cloth over the hammers. So the piano is really, really soft. Mm. I wanted to do that one where you could just put that on and just fall asleep or study. So it's really just meditative. That one's really slow, but I loved doing it. I thought it was a lot of fun. That was a good one. I like that one a lot.
Maybe I need to break that. I couldn't hardly get to sleep at all last night. I kind of tend to be an insomniac, so maybe I need to listen to that.
Maybe a little Magical Meditations might do you good.
It might just work for me, except for I have a habit, if I really like a tune, I kind of just sit there and listen, and I'll kind of sing along with it. So
I have listened
to some of your stuff there, and I kind of hum along or sing along, even if I don't know all the words. Listen to these Disney albums, like, I know this song, and I sing along, even if I get the lyrics wrong. I kind of get that way. So I don't know if it would necessarily work, but I might have to give that a try tonight.
Nice. Give it a try. See if it works.
See if it works. Because it would probably work a lot better than that. I found a YouTube video I got too interested in watching last night about midnight, and I could not get to sleep, and it was a couple hours long. It's like, if I don't stop watching this.
Oh my gosh. You're going to be up all night.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It happens.
It happens sometimes.
Yep.
I know.
But music is how I used to
that.
Music is how I used to sometimes get myself to sleep. Sometimes as a teenager, I'd sit there and I had the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Coming Out of Their Shells live tour album. And I would listen to that and fall asleep to it.
Nice.
I think tonight's playlist, I'm going to hook this up to my Google speaker down there. I think Magical Meditations will be on the agenda.
Nice. So, but check it out. See what you think.
Once again, Tom Amin, find him on social media, find him everywhere. Come and listen to some music. And it is some good, definitely chill and study and eat your dinner, take a nap.
Yeah, totally.
It's totally just peaceful. If you're being stressed out, believe me, this helps. This really does help if you're really stressed at your job.
Good.
It's good work. Listen,
that's the goal. That's the goal anymore. And thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate Jeremy.
And thanks for coming on again.
It's been awesome.
Next album comes out. If I don't notice that you're posting something about the new album, then you say, hey,
I'll message you.
Cause I completely missed that villain album. Like, oh wow. That's cool.
Don't worry.
I like,
don't worry about it. They're good. They're good songs.
Yep.
They're good songs.
All right. As we wrap the show up, I do want to remind you about Podgagement, and you can find links for that at neverlandpodcast.com. This is award-winning podcaster Daniel J. Lewis's fantastic company. If you happen to have a podcast, he's got all the tools you need to succeed right there, including ways to get all of your reviews, which, by the way, if you haven't left a review, that would be fantastic. I'd love to read your review here on the show, and I haven't heard anything about getting any new reviews in a while. So, feel free to review any of our shows. And well, not everything is quite set up there yet. I've only got like, I think, two shows set up to get reviews from, but I would like to get reviews and I'd like to hear from you. As you can send us an email at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com or find us at Twitter, x.com/NeverlandPcast. Don't forget, we're also on Facebook as the Fandom Nexus. We're also on there in a group of Neverland Podcast. The group is a bit more fun because it's a bit more interactive compared to me putting stuff on the fan page where you're able to comment, but you're not able to create a post. But in the group, we can all share things. Just keep it within the domains of what the show would be, so we kind of keep it family friendly. I do have an R-rated trailer that was shared on there. I was like, well, I'm going to leave it in there because that's kind of a big news, but it's not something I'm going to be covering on the podcast, as I try to keep this pretty well family friendly that anybody could watch and listen. So, but there is some things on there. There is some stuff I did have to say. I'm sorry, we can't share that one. That was too much. Yeah, there was something else that was shared that I did kind of, you know, I had to let the person post it, and I was like, I'm sorry, we can't do that one. But yeah, so, but most stuff you're going to want to share is probably fine. If you're listening to this show, you kind of know how things go. So come and share something with us. I do want to remember to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. And of course, remind you, of course, our Patreon is patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. You can find links for that, of course, on the website, where you can also join the Neverlanders, where we have our Lost Boys and Pixies. Why do we have Pixies? Because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. You can find out how to join right there on the website. No copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by the respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes and under the fair use license. And now, get lost in an adventure, and I'll see you next time.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.